Good thing you're not coming in now. How about if I preach until it stops raining? Then you guys can. Yeah, hope you brought a big notebook, Mark. Well, I have a favor to ask you guys as we get started. Because what I want you to do is, every single one of you, you had in your mind before you came to City on the Hill this morning, you all had in your mind a certain amount of money that you knew you were going to give for the offering. I want you to give only what you've already thought in your minds to give, okay? Regardless of everything that I say this morning, I don't want you to give anything more than what you've already planned, okay? You're not going to hear pastors say that from the pulpit very often. But I want you to give only what you've planned to give. Because what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you about the love of giving. And this is something that, well, my motivation, I don't want to incite you to give to City on a Hill. I want to excite you to give and to learn some of the principles that Donna and I learned so many years ago. There is power in giving, and there is so much to benefit us when we give. There's a powerful thing in the love of giving. So that's what my motivation is this morning. You know, most people, when they hear that the message is going to be about money, most people just get all squirmy in their seats because they think there's going to be a lot of pressure at the end to give and to give a lot. Look, I don't want your, I'm not coming after your money, okay? If you saw, I actually chose, if you saw, there's always a spiritual axiom every week that we have before service starts. And the spiritual axiom this week was, stewardship is not God coming after your money, it's God coming after your poverty. There's so many great lessons about giving and learning about giving. So, I don't want your money. That's not what I'm after today, okay? But I want you guys to have the benefits. I want you guys to see. In fact, if you've been coming on a regular basis, you know I put very little emphasis on taking the offering every Sunday. So, my motivation is to not get you to give more to City on Hill Teaching Center. My motivation is to teach you some solid principles that will change your life as it's changed Donna's in my life over the years if we understand the power of giving. Everybody still love me? See, you can't get up and leave because this is a great day. You're stuck here until this is the perfect day to preach on something like this. I want each one of us, all of us, to experience the blessings, the joy, the freedom, and the liberty that comes from giving and giving with the right motivation. I want all of us to experience those things. Listen, if I love you, I mean, if I truly love you as pastor, I'm not going to hold back any truths. I'm not going to hold back anything that's going to be for your benefit. I want you to experience these things. I will tell you, there's a lot of men and women that are uncomfortable talking about giving. I'm not at all uncomfortable talking about giving because I've experienced, I know the benefits that come from giving. I know the power that comes from giving. And so I want you to experience those things. If I truly love you, I'm going to tell you about the power of giving so that we can all enjoy, that we can all live in that fruitfulness. Listen, you are created to be a giver, and you will only find contentment in giving. That's just the way that it works. Don't give any more than what you'd already thought. That's my motivation and that's my heart, okay? In fact, if after listening to this morning's message, if after hearing the stories that I give and hearing the verses that I share, if you are excited about giving, great! But don't give any more to City on a Hill because I want you to understand my motivation for that. In fact, if you feel like giving more, I would tell you that sitting in this room right now, there's a lot of great ministries that you can give to. I mean, Alice is here with Yes FM. You guys know I love Yes FM. I've spent 18 years of my life there. That's a great ministry to sow seed into. Mark and Jean, their son runs Proclaim FM. That's a great ministry. That's doing a great work and turning things around. That's a great ministry to sow into. You know, Rick is the guy that's in charge of the prayer breakfast that takes place on National Day of Prayer. I know that they could always use income. If Denise was here, you know, she's with Greater Toledo House of Prayer. And I told you about the women's conference that she has coming up. You know, I know she needs money with that. One of the best ministries in the area, and a man that I trust implicitly. You know, Ed is a part of Foundation for Life. That's a great ministry, and I know that they could use. So if in hearing the things that I shared this morning, if it gets you excited about giving, and the Word of God always gets me excited about giving. If you get excited about giving, then great. Find one of those individuals. You know, the Radcliffes, is Addie, am I saying his name right? Addie. I don't know why that's so hard for me to get. He's a young man that's been with them several times. What, he's been here twice? Perhaps. He's a young guy that is doing phenomenal things in Haiti when he could be here. But he's doing, and I said to them, last time Bill and I were talking about it, I said, the next time that Audie's coming, let me know, because I want to bring him up here so you guys can learn about him. I'm sure that he could use. I'm sure that young man could use blessings. So my point is, can you hear my heart? I'm not saying these things to get you to give more to City on a Hill. Because you know what? At the end of the day, my confidence, our confidence is not, our confidence is in him to meet the needs of City on the Hill. It's not in the flesh. I just want you guys to benefit from the truth, from the things that the Word tells us about giving. So, having said all that, why is it important for us to learn to be givers? Why is that an important thing for us? Well, there's a two-part answer to that from the perception of laying down a groundwork on regarding or understanding the principles of giving. Here's the first important key. Here's the first important principle for us on giving. It is your nature to give. Now, you might be reluctant to believe that that's true, and it might be that past experience and present experience suggests that it's not your nature to give. You know, maybe it's actually a hard thing. It's a continual struggle for you to give, but that's your flesh. That's not the eternal part of who you are. You are created to be a giver, and that is the only way that you will find contentment in being a giver. It's because this is what you were created to be by God. The flesh tells us. The flesh says, hold on to what you have firmly. But you were created in the image of God. And God is by nature, by his very nature, he's a giver. God is a giver. And nothing exemplifies that better than this elementary passage. It's elementary. This is a stronghold. You know, even the newest believer could give this verse, John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave. It is the nature of God to give. And you were created in the image of God. If we read the same verse in the Amplified Bible, it actually says this. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, his only begotten unique Son. The word there that is even, that tells us the depths of God's desire to give, the depth of God's giving to us. In other words, what this is saying is that God has given us all, up to and including his own Son. God is a giver. You are created in the image of God. Do the math. This makes our nature to be givers. It may not feel that way, but in our spirits, that is who we are. You are created in the image of God, and God is a giver. This is what you were created in the image of. This is who we are. This is what we are. This is what he wants us to be at all times. This is your nature. God gives to us, and he holds nothing back when he gives. You and I, it is in our spiritual DNA to give. It's what we're made to be. Now, the flesh rebels against that, I admit. The flesh rebels against that. But it is who you are, and it is who in your spirit you want to be. The flesh fights against it, but that's who in the spirit you and I want to be. Now, here's the second foundation on really understanding giving. The second thing is that the action or the act of giving, that is the initiator, that is the igniter of having more things entrusted to you, having God entrust more to you. Every single one of us, at some point in our lives, if not frequently in our lives, struggles with finances. We struggle in the area of finances. How many times in our lives does it feel like there's just not enough? There's never enough. We've all been in that area. And yet God tells us, Jesus is teaching us here a principle. It's a very simple principle. He's telling us to give. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Very common verse. We could spend all day just talking about this verse. This is a great verse. I just want to highlight one thing. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. How do we get Jesus to entrust more into our care? How do we get it so that we have so much? He gives us so much. We press it down and we still can't contain it. It just overflows out of us. How do we get that? Well, it starts with giving. That's what instigates. That is the initiator of the process. The verse doesn't say, hold tightly to everything that you have and more will be given. It doesn't say that, but that's the way that our minds think. The verse says, give and it will be given. This initiates the process of giving. Now, let me give you an example from, because sometimes illustrations are the best way. When I told you this is something that God has taught me, I've been saved for just a little bit over a year. And Donna and I had been married for a little under a year. And it was like November of the year. And Donna came to me and she said, you know, I've been praying about this and I really feel strongly that God is telling us that we should give, we should pledge $1,000 to this one specific ministry for the next year. So I just want you to pray about that because we need to make a decision before the end of this year. And I thought, well, so you mean you want us to not give our tithes to church anymore, but give $1,000 to this one ministry? She said, oh no, we're going to still keep on tithing our 10%, but we're going to give $1,000 in addition to that. Now, that sounds like a lot, but also consider where I was coming from. This was my first job in ministry. I was making $9,200 a year. So we're already giving 10% to our church. And then Donna says, give another $1,000. Now, in addition to that, Donna's also finishing up her master's degree. So we're paying for that. Now, she had a stipend. But, I mean, we're talking about my $9,200. That was back in 1982. All right, so things were different. But still, that was about a third of what the national average was. I was well below poverty level. And when she said that, I thought, that's absurd. But I knew that she was serious about it. And so I prayed about it, and to my surprise, even in my very young mind, young spiritual mind, I was surprised. I really came to a peace about it. And I knew that we were supposed to do that. And so we committed to this ministry. We actually contacted them and we pledged to give them $1,000 in the next year's time. Now you would think that year would be stressful and tight and uncomfortable. But we were never late on one bill that we had. We were never late paying anything. We fulfilled that pledge in its entirety. And there was no stress in that year whatsoever. In fact, we had more than enough. Donna still looks back 30 years later. She still looks back on that year. And it was not in the last even 4 months. She said this to me again. She looks back warmly and fondly on that first year of our marriage together. Because we made that pledge. We went well beyond what was comfortable. Donna still looks back fondly on that year, and she will still say to me that she misses the feeling of that year because we had put ourselves out there so far where if God didn't come through, it was going to be disaster for us. But we got to see Jesus providing for our needs on a daily basis. We saw it. Donna will still tell you, ask her. Turn around and ask her now. I don't care. She'll still tell you that she can't explain where all that money came from in that year. But we had more than enough. See, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in all things. I know this is a common verse, but I want you guys to hear this. This is 3 John, verse number 2. 3 John, verse 2 says, beloved, because he loves us, he wants us to prosper. This is who you are in Jesus. You are beloved in Jesus. Beloved. I pray. Jesus. This is his thoughts being shared through John. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants us to prosper in every area of our life, including in the area of finances. He wants us to have. He wants to be able to entrust to us. He wants us to have, not just so that we can have all of that and so that we can be extravagant to ourselves. However, I will tell you that Jesus will be extravagant to you. When we walk in obedience to Him in these things, He will be extravagant to us. What He wants us to do is learn to trust Him in the area of giving. Jesus wants to give, to entrust to you more money so that He can advance His kingdom through us. He has made us to be His stewards. We are the ones that are to take stewardship over all the things that He has. Remember, as His followers, that is just what we are. We are stewards. We're His stewards. We're supposed to be taking care of all the things that He has given to us. All that I have is not mine. It belongs to Him. Everything that I have belongs to Him. It's all His. Because I have chosen to take up my cross and follow Him. I've died to self, so my life is no longer mine. My life and all that is associated with my life is His and is to His glory. All of it. That means everything that I have belongs to Him. From my life all the way down to the money that I have, it all belongs to Him. I am merely a steward of the things that He has entrusted to me. I'm just a steward. And you know what? The steward doesn't own. The steward is, by definition, a manager, a trustee, an overseer. It is one who is the administrator over the things that have been entrusted into his stewardship. The steward doesn't own. It's not mine. And when I come to the place that I realize that all the things, including the money that I have, is not mine, but it belongs to him, when I come to that revelation, it's easy to give. And when it becomes easy to give, it's easy for God to trust more with you. I got a friend of mine who is very well off. And he's been a supporter for all the years I was at YesFM. He was always a huge supporter. And every time we had a share-a-thon, he would always call and he would always pledge a certain amount, a pretty significant amount of money for us to use as a matching gift. I knew him personally. And I knew that at this one particular year, he was really struggling. His business was really struggling. There was another business that came in and tried to put him out of business. And he was struggling. And so when he called, I said, hey, look, I know things are tough. If you can't give that same amount of money this year, I understand. He said, Todd, I can't afford to give that same amount of money this year. And that's exactly why I'm going to give you that same amount of money. Because I need to give. Because I need my business to succeed. See, that's someone that understands the money is not his. And when he realizes he's just merely a steward and he gives where God instructs him to give, he knows that God's going to take care of him. It's a wonderful story that I don't have time to share with you. But this other company actually came in and tried, because I know someone that worked at that company and they expressed this, they tried. Their intention was to undercut his business, to put him out of business. They were a huge company that was national and they knew they could absorb losses on every job. They were going to charge less. They're going to lose money on every job because they knew he couldn't bid that low. They did that for a year to try to put him out of business. Guess who left town? It wasn't him. It was them. His business is bigger and stronger. This is the concept of we are just stewards. God wants us to have the right attitude on giving, because if we have that right attitude, he will prosper us in all things. This is what he desires and what he wants for us. All right, so has everybody heard? How many of us are really familiar with the parable of the unjust steward? Okay, this is a parable that a lot of people are really uncomfortable with. And it's really hard to understand. But we don't understand it because we're not taking it and reading the parable in context. We have to read it in context. And we also have to understand it through the heart of God. And the heart of God, by his nature, is a giver. You have to understand that God is a giver and wants us to give. So let's look at that. Let's look at that parable. This is It's John chapter 16. John 16, verses 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 16. That doesn't look right. Oh, it's Luke. Yes, it is Luke. This is why you should mark your place in your Bible before you come up here. Okay, Luke 16, verses 1 through 16. There was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and he said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master has taken away the stewardship from me. I can't dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." You know, this is the problem that we have in the body of Christ, is we think that we can't do other things. What reason could he not dig? You know, what reason could he not do other things? But this is a man that was used, this is a man that even as a steward was not a wise steward. He was an unjust steward. And because he didn't understand the job of a steward, he's not willing to work and to do things. That's kind of the, well, that's another topic, but that's kind of the way that we are in this country sometimes. I've resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors into him. And he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And so he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said to him, 100 measure of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write down 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. What? For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." There is so much that is in this, and I'm not going to have time to go through all this. But I'll tell you what, just read through this parable after we look at it today. Read through this yourself and let the Holy Spirit show you some things, because every one of these verses is a treasure trove of truths. And just let that revelation come to you. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit in trust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And they said to him, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." In other words, God knows the motivation of your hearts. "But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Again, I emphasize, there is so much that is there. But here's the things I want us to look at with that. When we look at that, that does cause us to be confused sometimes. So let's just go through the story. So we have a rich man, and the rich man has a steward who is taking care of. He's overseeing the man's money and the man's accounts. So the steward is found guilty of being dishonest, and he's being held accountable for his actions. So fearing for his future, he decides to curry the favor of the other men who owe money still to his master. And he says to them, he's going to forgive their debts. He'll forgive their debts to his master if they just pay a percentage of what they owe the master. Now look, is what he's doing in any way benefiting the master, the rich man? No! This does not benefit the rich man at all. In fact, the rich man is losing money in this exchange. And yet, the rich man, the master, says, well done. He's praising the steward for acting shrewdly. That doesn't add up in our minds. But here's the thing. Don't try to understand this parable on the basis of justice, because that's not what this parable is about. This parable is about the action of a steward. The steward is to give the master's money away in the way that the master instructs. The steward, you and I, is to give the master's money away. That's why this parable fits in so perfectly with what we're talking about this morning. Because God our Father is the rich man. And he has entrusted, I don't care what your age is, he has entrusted into each one of us to be stewards over much, including money. He's given us stewardship over all of those things. We are stewards. But when we use those things that he's given us stewardship over for ourselves, In other words, we consider those things to be ours and not his. We become the unjust steward. We become just like he is. But wait, the steward, he gave others the benefit of the master's money. Other men benefited from the master's money. In fact, essentially, this steward gave away the master's money for his own future gain. Those other men, they never paid their debt to the master. How is it then that the master, how is it that God can then praise the steward? How is that? You are created in the image of God. And God is a giver. This is what he's called us to be. God gives every one of us things that he's given us for stewardship, including money. He gives all of us. He's provided all of us money, and some of that money is to benefit others who have done nothing to deserve it. The praise is because this steward is giving away the master's money. That's the principle that's here. This is the master's heart. The master's heart is to give. What is of God, including, here's an example. All that is God's, salvation is a great example. God freely gives salvation to those who have done nothing to earn it. And we can never fully repay the debt. We can't do it. We don't have the wherewithal to do it. And this is what God has done for us. And what God is asking us to do, what Jesus is sharing through this principle, is God wants us to do the same thing with what he has entrusted to us. He wants us to give everything that he's entrusted to us. He wants us to give even our money. Does that make sense? Use the money that Jesus has given you. Use that money to change the world, to advance his kingdom, to do the ministry work, to benefit others. This is the intention of that principle. Can everybody see what I'm talking about? All right. I got another story coming up here in just a second. This is one of my favorite stories. Let's go back and look at verse number 9. From Luke 16, let's look at verse number 9. I want to show you this in the Amplified Bible. Everybody still tracking with me? Everybody still love me? That wasn't quite as wholehearted as it was when we first started. I'm just going to tell you. All right, so Luke 16, verse number 9. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, so that when it fails, they, those you have favored, may receive and welcome you into everlasting habitations or dwellings. Those that you have favored is not the people who are the recipients of the money that you give. Because the people who are the recipients of the money that you give, whether it's an individual or whether it's a ministry, they do not have the power to gain for you everlasting habitations. But Jesus does. You favor Jesus when you give. Stop and think about that. You favor Jesus when you give. You favor him in both definitions of the word favor. You favor Jesus when you give. You favor him by honoring him, but you favor him, you favor Jesus. You look like Jesus. When you give, you are looking like Jesus. The purpose of this parable is not to talk about the improper motivation of the steward, although Jesus is going to deal with that momentarily. The purpose of this parable is to teach us. It's the lesson that says a steward is to give. A steward is to give. You and I are stewards. Look, every single one of us can come up with every creative reason and every rationalization why to not give to every man and every ministry that's on your heart. We can all rationalize those things very easily. We can come up with 1,000 rationalizations. My dad, when I was a little boy, my dad used to laugh at me all the time. He said, Todd, I've never met anyone who has more excuses than you do. And I had a lot. But we can do the same thing when it comes to giving. We can come up with every excuse and every reason not to give. However, we are to give because we have his nature. And as we give, We favor him. This is what he's called us to be, and this is who we are. It's who we're supposed to be. The steward himself, the steward was praised for acting shrewdly. Shrewdly there means, and I love this definition, shrewdly means, I'm going to read to you exactly as it says it, a sensible manner in which one conducts his affairs. Shrewdly is a sensible manner in which one conducts his affairs. For God, it is sensible that we give. Even when it doesn't make sense to our natural minds to give, it is still sensible to God that we give. We don't question Jesus when he asks us to give, whether it's to an individual or to a ministry or whatever God instructs you to do. We don't question Jesus when he says to give. We just obey and give. The word shrewdly there also means in part this. It means with advantage, and it means providentially. Providentially, you know I love definitions. Providentially means a determination of the divine. So, it is to our advantage to give as Jesus has determined for us to give. And it's to our advantage to give where Jesus determined for us to give. A lot of people are uncomfortable with that parable because it seems like, and it sounds to us in our natural minds, like God is somehow rewarding this unjust steward for his wrong motivation. But that's because we read that parable and we stop right there. Jesus is dealing with both the action as well as the motivation. The parable is dealing with the action. The action is, as stewards, we are supposed to give. The action is to give. But then, after the parable, then Jesus is teaching. Then Jesus instructs us on having the right motivation in giving. We have to have the proper motivation. Giving with the right motivation is paramount to us in all things. We have to have that right heart, the right motivation in our giving. This is what Jesus is dealing with in verses 14 and 15. He's talking about the right motivation. He's talking to the Pharisees, and it even identifies that the Pharisees are lovers of money. This is what it says again in verse number 15. So this is Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." God knows the motivation of our hearts. God knows your hearts. "For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Jesus is here correcting the Pharisees for the wrong motivation that they have in their hearts concerning money. At the same time, Jesus is teaching us that God knows our hearts, our motivation in our giving. He knows our hearts. We are instructed as stewards to give, but we have to give with the right motivation. We are first instructed in the parable to give, and then after the parable's done, then Jesus teaches us on the importance of having the right motivation to give, having his heart in our giving. This is what he's teaching us. This is what he's showing us. How you give matters. You know, in Luke, make that mark. Mark chapter, let's look at that. Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. I think I got that one right. Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. Because here we're seeing that Jesus is looking at the manner in which we give. This is what it says. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and he saw that the people put the money," he saw how the people put the money into the treasury. "And many who were rich put in much." This is talking about the widow who gave the mite. She gave all that she had. But the important thing to me is that Jesus sat. He was watching. He sat there and he watched as people gave into the treasury. Jesus does watch the manner in which we give. So we see from the parable, we're instructed as stewards to give. And then he teaches us afterwards that the motivation, we have to give with the right motivation. This is what he's instructed us to do. It's not enough just to give. You have to give with the right motivation. You know why? Because we're not the unjust steward. We have to give with the right motivation. We are his stewards. We're stewards over everything that he has given to us. And he wants us to give as he created us to do. Because you're created in his image. And he's a giver. Thus, it's your nature as well. He wants us to give as he created us to do. But he wants us to give with the right heart and the right motivation as well, which he has taught us to do. This is the heart of Jesus for us. When we give, it's in this kind of giving that we find joy, that we find contentment. Listen, if we go through life and we're always struggling with finances, there's probably an indication that I need to give more. It worked for my friend. I guarantee you it's worked in Don and I. Some of you can give those same testimonies. When we give with this way, understanding that we are stewards, that all that we have, not just money, everything that we have belongs to Him. We are merely stewards. Stewards give where the master instructs them to give. When we give with that kind of heart, you're going to find that you've demonstrated to Jesus that you can be entrusted with more. And as a result, He will entrust you with more. Let me give you my final example. Final story. So Don and I were living in Perrysburg, and we had a home in Perrysburg. At this point in time in our lives, we still owed a huge amount on the mortgage. We owed money on my car and her car, so we were in debt. And we determined that we wanted to get out of debt, and we knew that that's what God had told us to do, to get out of debt. So Donna came to me again, and she said, you know, I think that the Holy Spirit is showing me this. And she said, I think the Holy Spirit is telling us, I think that if we demonstrate our faithfulness and our obedience in this, I think He's telling us to give this amount of money to this ministry. And I believe that if we do that, He will eradicate our debt in 2 years. Again, to me, that sounds absurd. But I prayed about it. And again, I came to the place where I agreed. I thought that was God. I thought that's what God was telling us to do. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that if you give money to a ministry, God's going... What I'm saying out of this is each one of us, we need to understand that we're stewards. And so all that we have belongs to Him. It's not mine. My job is to do with it what He instructs me to do. This is what God instructed Donna and I to do. If you'll listen, He will give you instructions. He has instructions for everything. Not just your money, for your life. Everything that is entrusted to you. If you will listen, He will show you those things. So do you understand? I'm not saying give $3,000 to a ministry and God's going to eradicate your debt. Now that might happen if that's what God tells you to do. But you just obey what God says to do. So the amount of money that Donna said we were supposed to give to this ministry was like, what? That sounds crazy. But I believed it. And I prayed about it. And I was at peace with it. And so we gave that money. We didn't even pledge it. We gave it. Money is gone. It's out of our hands and in that ministry. 2 years. We're about 18 months. And I'll tell you this also. In the process of this, Don and I decided we're going to do everything that we can. Our purpose is to get out of debt. So we're going to do everything that we can do to get out of debt. So my philosophy, this is how Alice and I survived at Yes FM. My philosophy is I'll do the small things and God's going to have to take care of the big things. So we always look for what can we do? How can we save money? I mean, just as an example, I went through do I need subscriptions to these magazines? No, let's get rid of these. Everything we could find, even if it's $5. When Alice and I were trying to do that with Yes FM, look, if we found that we could save, and we did, if we could save $5 a month doing something, we were $750,000 in debt. $5 a month is nothing. But if we do our part, God will do the bigger things. So we're 18 months into this. We've done all that we can do. And you know how close we are to getting out of debt? No closer than we were when we started. Donna and I are driving around in Florida. We were on vacation. And Donna said, you know, we're just like 6 months away from this and we're no closer to being out of debt. And this is what we talked about. We obeyed and we did what God said to do. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but I have total confidence that before that 2-year period is over, because that is what He spoke, we will be out of debt. 5 weeks before the 2-year period is over. Donna gets a letter from a lawyer. An aunt of hers, was there you the only, or was there someone else? Was there two of you? Two of you or one? So there's just Donna and someone else are the sole beneficiaries. I don't think she had any idea this lady even had that much money. Paid off our house. Paid off our cars. And because God is a God of abundance, we had enough money, we both needed new computers. We bought new computers, and we still had money left over. This. But see, this is the principle of stewardship. Wait a minute, I'm getting a note from the back. That is true. That's very true. And that's something we'll talk about. That is true. What she just said, if you didn't hear it, is, and we tithed off the money that we gave. When we got that money, the very first thing we did, we didn't pay off all those bills first. When we got that inheritance, we tithed off of that inheritance. Once that was done and that money was gone, then we used the rest of the money to pay everything off. And that's something that's kind of called first fruits, and I'll talk about that some other time. So my point is, this is why I said be excited about giving. And this is why I said I'm not coming to you for your money. I'm not looking for you to give more money to City on a Hill. But I want you to find the areas that God has told you to give. Financially, your lives, in all ways. Because this is what it means to be a steward. It's raining more, so I think that means God wants me to talk to you about, you know, the next level of giving tithes. And yeah. You understand? Does that make sense to everybody? He's entrusted things to you and I because we are his stewards. And if we will operate as his stewards, in other words, saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do with everything you've given? He will show you what to do, and when you do it, I guarantee you, I promise you, I can look anyone in the eye and tell you. Because I'm just telling you two stories. I could stand up here and tell you stories about this until the rain stops. Because for 30-plus years, Donna and I have seen and lived. I could tell you all kinds of stories, not just with Donna and I. Ellis and I could tell you stories at Yes FM as well. I have seen these principles come to pass and work time and time again. God wants us to prosper. He wants you to prosper. Beloved, I love you. Beloved, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. This is what Jesus wants for you. You guys receive that? Everybody believe that? Amen. Jesus, we thank you that your word is true. I thank you that as we just think about this, as we meditate on these scriptures, and Holy Spirit, you show each one of us additional scriptures that you want to teach us, that will show us and teach us how to be those stewards in all things. We are not afraid of giving. We don't squirm when we hear about giving. We are excited about the opportunity to always serve you as you instruct. Our faith and our confidence is in you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship. Really praise and worship this morning.